Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field." So Jesus tells this parable to his disciples, to this crowd, and also to us, to let us know that we are treasured, that we are redeemed, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, and that there is no expense that he would not pay in order to redeem us, to secure our salvation. So to begin, I'm just curious here, what do you treasure? Take a moment and just think, what do you treasure? Faith? Family? Your stuffed animal? Phil, I know that's what it is. Yep, that's me too. Yep. I actually have a stuffed penguin. The stuffed penguin is named Tux. Because you like a tuxedo? Yep. Yeah, that's actually not a joke. All right. Some of us probably treasure our sleep or wishing that we could get more sleep. Some of us probably treasure vacation time when we can get our vacation time. What is it that you treasure? What sticks out the most? Sadly, our culture in America teaches us to treasure consumerism. Just think of garages. You know those things that are supposed to hold cars? Yeah. Storage sheds, closets, the things that are supposed to hold clothes. You name it. The lesson seems to be treasure what you have, and then also you are treasured by others because of what you have. And so we hoard and we hang on to things that are in fact fleeting. We seek security in our world because of our assets rather than in God. And when we come to church, it becomes so easy to have a lesson like this just go in one ear and out the other, because as soon as we walk out that door, we are instantly hit with that wave of consumerism, because we look at our phone and we're scrolling through on Amazon or Walmart or whatever, and we see it's a dollar off and we've got to have it now, and it's all two clicks away. What do you treasure? Here's a much better lesson on what to treasure. On April 25th, 2009, in Pompano Beach, Florida, there were two young boys, ages 9 and 12, that faced sure and certain death. They'd been caught in the riptides of the water, and they were definitely going to die until a man by the name of Charles Schultz, who was 70 years old, saw those two boys caught in the riptide, and he made his way out into the riptide, and he then got those boys into his arms and he dragged them to shore. All of a sudden, a crowd quickly gathered around and they saw that both of those boys were in fact breathing. All of the commotion going on around and everything, that crowd turns around and sees that Charles Schultz is laying there lifeless. He's rushed off to the local hospital and he's proclaimed dead. What did Mr. Schultz have to gain by this action that he had just performed? Nothing. Nothing at all. But then he wasn't thinking about himself. What do you treasure? The nature of our sinful flesh, which we learn so much in our American culture, is to treasure ourselves. What Mr. Schultz did in the story that you just heard teaches us to treasure putting the lives of others before ourselves. And that's ultimately what the man in the parable did as well. The man in the parable seemingly had nothing to gain when he bought that field. He gave everything that he had to have that treasure. I'd like you just to pause and think about everything that you own. Everything. Which is probably a fair amount of stuff. Emily and I went through the process of moving. If you've ever moved, you know that there's usually a few boxes upon boxes. This man got rid of everything that he owned in order to simply own a field and whatever it was that this treasure it was in this field. My friends, that man in that story, that parable, is God the Father. And that treasure is you and me. We have been purchased. We have been paid for. The biblical word here is we have been redeemed. Redeemed is actually my favorite word in the whole wide world. All right? I went to a conference when I was burned out in ministry, and the word that they attached to my entire life story was the word redeemed. It's truth telling. We are treasured and we are redeemed. To be redeemed, when defined, means to be bought back. We have been bought back, as we confess. We've been bought back means to be that we are bought back not with gold or silver, but with His holy and precious blood, the holy and precious blood of Jesus. The Father gave everything He had to make sure that His greatest treasure would be bought back from death to life, from condemnation to salvation. That's you and that's me. We know it. It's the gospel in a nutshell, right? For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His one and only Son. Just think about it this way. One day, you and I will be buried into the ground. Buried treasure. But then the trumpet will sound. The voice of the archangel will be heard. And then we will be raised. Raised treasures you will be with Jesus for all eternity. Looking forward to that day, the question remains in a life of American consumerism. What do you treasure? It begs the question, as we consider our life of faith, and as we consider how our lives as Christians are not to mirror the lives of the secular world around us, are not to mirror the secular world around us. How do we respond to the gift of being treasured and redeemed by our God? Recently, we have been challenging our congregation to give our first and our best. And it's interesting in a congregation how this is oftentimes a personal question and a challenging question that arises, because when we consider all that our Heavenly Father has done for us, this should never really be a challenging conversation. It should actually be one that comes with ease. It should actually be one that never really gets that defensive. Because He didn't hesitate to give everything to secure our salvation. And so I'd like to take a moment and just simply speak directly, because we should be able to do that within the church. Because this is how it's supposed to work within the church. Every one of us here is well aware of what God has done in generously giving to us, and that giving to the Lord is never supposed to be an issue. Let me explain that. Giving to the Lord, giving our first and our best, is not based on an amount. It's a matter of the heart. So where's your heart? Where's your heart at in respect to Christ? It's a matter of trust. Do you trust Him to provide for you? It's a matter of what God has done for you and for me. So it's never a matter of leftovers or a burden, because we don't give God our leftovers and we don't give as if it's a burden. If it's a leftovers or a burden, it shows where our heart is at. Giving is also done on a percentage basis, not on an amount basis. My dad taught me to give my first 10% of my gross income as a tithe, and whatever I gave over that was an offering. That's what he taught me from a little on. He taught me that if I ever made a dollar, I gave my 10 cents first. If I made $100, I gave $10 first, and so on. And what he was teaching me, and by modeling this, he taught me how to trust God. He also taught me that giving is a joy. I learned from a very young age from my dad that it's a blessing to be treasured by God, and it's a treasure to give back to God. To give to His church is a blessing, because what you give is actually used by the church then so that others receive the treasure of Jesus. That's actually what's done within the church. And that's the goal. Just think, our mission statement, sharing Christ in His love. That's what it's all about. We want others to have the treasure of what we have. So it goes back to that question, right? It goes back to the question of, what do you treasure? And if this gets a little bit uncomfortable, ask yourself, why is it uncomfortable? Why is it uncomfortable? What's your treasure? What's your greatest treasure? Whom do you trust? Do you trust Him to give your first and your best? Does this change how you think? The interesting thing about this parable is the word that sticks out. The word that sticks out is the word joy. The guy that goes and sells all that he has to buy, and I can't figure this out at all. The guy that goes and sells all that he has does so with joy. And I can't imagine going and selling everything that I have and thinking, I am so happy, so filled with joy to get rid of everything that I have. I mean, I got some stuff that I want to keep, right? Everything. And this guy just goes and says, yeah, this is awesome. I'm filled with joy. I'm getting rid of everything. But that's what he does. Giving with joy. That's what the Father did. Can you imagine the Father of the entire universe, the Heavenly Father, giving His Son and Him doing it with joy? And yet, that's what He does. Because you know what He sees? He sees that that's what it's going to take to ensure that you are with Him for all eternity. And He says, you know what? I'm going to give my child with joy. That's what He invites us into. He invites us to experience that giving with joy, that giving that all flows from a giving that is connected to Jesus. In his name, amen.